Okay, and 3, 2. All right. Hey, guys, welcome back again to Nagala Podcast. Again, this is a podcast where we talk everything there is to talk about pertaining to life, everything there is to life, and everything that I want to say sucks in life as well. Because not going to lie, I thought growing up will be so much easier. But then you have the adulting part of life that comes with it. So today we're going to continue our conversation about education, but this time I have invited a really good friend of mine, someone who I truly respect, and someone who I have known for quite a number of years. Yeah, like I think I first met you in 2018, I think, right? So like 2-3 years now. Someone who has a huge passion for people, and it's just something that resonates with me. So a good friend of mine, and we're going to talk about education from the perspective of a parent. Oftentimes we neglect education, we neglect the parents when it comes to the education conversation. I'm excited for the conversation today. So Grace, can you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks so much, Will, for inviting me into this conversation on education. So hi, everyone. My name is Grace Liu. I am a mother of two. My oldest is 8 years old and my youngest is 6 years old. I am also a working mom. I have a full-time job in a nonprofit company called Resource Global. It is a mentoring program for young adults in the marketplace. And so, education for my kids are really, really important. So I'm glad to be part of this conversation.
All right. That's awesome. So let's just start with the very fun thought of what do you think about when it comes to like when people say education, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
The word learning. I think education is all about learning new things, exploring. I guess that's two things now.
Okay. So I'm so glad that you actually talked, like when you say that, I'm so happy because you didn't mention about school. as much as I'm a teacher and be like, oh, we need students in school or whatever. Like I do agree that education is really more about learning and exploring. Right. Because here's the thing, right? So we come from a very different generation compared to where our you know, my, like I would be a soon to be dad in a couple of weeks, but you have been a mom for 8 years now, at least to your oldest, right? And then to your other child as well. And but like I just want to know, because I can share from my experience what my parents expected of me about education, right? So like what was your parents' expectations when it comes to education to you, really?
Well, I think each type of parents probably has different expectations, but my parents are pretty type A people. They're very structured, and so I guess they expected me to fit into the structure of education, which means going to school on time, which means studying what the teacher gives, or doing completing assignments that the teachers give out, which means getting straight A's if you can, which means, you know, doing all the proper things that a little Asian American kid should be doing, which means also having piano lessons and violin lessons after school as well. So my parents' idea of like good education is about kind of fitting into the structure of a school system and I guess the after school activities as well.
Okay, so I have to clarify, that is not Asian American parents, that's just Asian parents.
Yeah.
We don't want to, obviously, no, first of all, we are Asians. So we actually talk about from our experience. We're not bringing up a certain race, but this is what we know. This is what we experienced growing up, obviously. Absolutely. So both of my parents, I think just like yours, they have certain expectations. It also pertains to what they would want me to be in the future. I don't know if the same with you, right? They already have like the entire plan laid out. Oh, you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be a lawyer, you're going to be like a business, whatever. And I'm like, I don't like those things. And it was a bit of like a tug of war, kind of like power struggle thing. And I think like during probably like junior high, during senior high will be like whatever, right? So but is that something that you carry and then you kind of like you implement as well to your children though?
That's a really great question. I would say some parts for discipline, but not entirely. And so let me explain that. I do think that structure is important when educating children. I think that helps them learn. But I do believe that during our parents' generation, so let's say Gen X and probably baby boomer, I think they were born and brought up in an industrial kind of culture, I would say, where everything was like, education was kind of like an operation line system.
Yeah.
And so you had to kind of, so automatically our parents would kind of parent us in that way. And I'm in my mid-30s. So my parents would parent me and educate me in that way. But then now that I look at the younger millennials and the Gen Z generation, even my kids' generation, they're Gen A, we're going back into the alphabet.
Alpha, it's like, it's a whole confusing.
Yeah, it's a little confusing. Yeah. But if I look at all the generations, the new generations, the emerging generations, I realize that the education system can't really be in this industrial manner. It has to be more in an agricultural manner, where like, yeah, we plant seeds of knowledge, but the way they grow is very, very different. And I think being aware of those differences is very, very important. So for me, I'm very aware that even just having two kids, with that seed of knowledge that's planted in by the schools, the way they sprout, the way they absorb that knowledge is very, very different. And I think being aware of how, like what environment is the best for them, things like that, I think is very important to me. Whereas perhaps during my parents' generation, when they were parenting me and educating me in the school system, it was very, they're just like, this is the way it is. You better follow it.
Or oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're a bad kid, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like if you go home with less than 99, even 99, sometimes parents will be like, where's the 1 point? And I'm like, it's 99. And they're like, but one more point and that's perfect. I'm like, I give up. Bye. So it is that kind of like mentality. I like, but looking back though, like looking back now, I can honestly say that because they are aware of how tough it is out there, so they want to make sure that we are prepared, and if we can be pushed to achieve so much more. I think that that's kind of like the heart of it when I kind of like look back and sit down and understand them better. Obviously during the time it's hard is be like, what, like I got this, and then you're still like that. I'm like, you know what, I give up, whatever. I love what you said about how there's a difference now between how our parents, how they live and what they experience and what they know at the time is best. And so therefore they are making sure us, you and me, our generations to be prepared the way that they see the world, right?
Yeah.
And just like how you see the world now, and you, in the same way, in a parallel way, how you see the world right now and how it operates, you kind of like recognize the things that you know your children will grow the most, will benefit the most. And you mentioned about choosing the right atmosphere, the right circumstances, the right place for them to be able to absorb. And that's like something that's important to you, right? So I just want to hop on then to kind of like, what's your consideration or other considerations aside from that when it comes to choosing, let's say for example, a school, or even like, is like, okay, so let's start with school first, right? And then I want to have a conversation like, so outside of school, is there other things that you're using as an opportunity to educate your children? Okay, again, I'm all over the place right now, but let's circle back to what are your considerations when it comes to choosing the right school for your children's education?
Yeah. my considerations would be the school culture and the teacher. Like individually, I want to know who the teacher is that is teaching my kid. Culture to me is just so important because that talks to me about behavior, that talks to me about values, far more than academics. I think when I say culture, what I'm looking for is if my child decides to learn things in a different way or wants to ask questions, is there that culture that embraces that side of my child? Yeah. Is there that culture that is okay with kids expressing themselves a little bit differently? Or are you forcing my kid to fit into what you think is right for them? And in terms of teachers, like I also, when I talk about school culture, I think it's nice to have this humongous value. Like kids, schools always put these like big values on their walls, right? But then I really look to the teachers to see if they actually live it out in the way that they teach.
Yeah.
So I think that's why those two, like the school culture and specifically the teachers, and kind of do they live it out in kind of their being and who they are.
Okay. So that is actually awesome because it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to live it. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's the intangible sometimes that it takes time to observe. So I like from that, I think it implies just the amount of research, the amount of relationship that you kind of like built first prior to that you kind of like before you decide to put any of your children to a certain place, right? And for me, that's just awesome because it just shows how prepared you are as a parent, and that's just amazing for me. But I do want to kind of like go to your point when you said like it's more important than academics, right? So, but what's your thought on grades then, on grades and academics? Right? So just want to have your general thought about that.
Oh, I mean, okay, I'm not putting like academics under the bus and saying it's not important. I definitely think academics is important. And I will say that grades do matter to me.
Okay.
Because grades are kind of a measurement of how much you're absorbing what's being taught in class.
Okay.
But I also will say that grades don't tell me everything about how my child's doing. Okay. It tells me one part of how my child is absorbing the knowledge, but it doesn't tell me like, oh, were they sad in class? Did something happen in class to make them, you know, get a bad grade or you know, whatnot.
Yeah.
So grades are important, but I feel like it only tells me one side or one aspect of my child.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I do agree. And as a teacher, I do agree with you that grades are a good measurement tool. It's the easiest and it's the quickest one, right? But we often we are trained to if a student suddenly has a bad grade, our job is not to tell them to do better, but to understand what's going on. Right. Mm-hmm. What's happening with you? Is there anything? Is everything okay at home and all those things? Although unfortunately, teachers are burned out, so oftentimes we just don't practice it as much. So that's one part. And then, when you said that grades kind of like it doesn't tell you the entire story, and I'm just very thankful that we do still have parents who understands that. Because oftentimes I do have to defend my students in PTC and not the other way around. Parents can be very scary. It like you guys are awesome.
I do feel like, I will say this, like academics are super important. The reason why I am intentionally focusing on culture, Will, is because when there's a culture of excellence, I feel like the academics will follow.
Okay.
But if it's only academics, then it's almost like you're just obligated to get all these numbers without any like foundation of value of like, why do I have to achieve, you know, the why is not there. That's why culture and like really do our teachers live it out. I think that's so important to me.
Ah, I'm so happy right now, Grace. I'm so happy that you actually clarify that without me having to kind of like say it, because otherwise it's not going to be genuine. It feels like I'm going to lead it, whatever, but I'm just so happy that you actually also believe in that, because again, here's the thing. When And I don't know if you agree with me, okay? So I just want to hear your thought as well. So this is what I do, what I really do believe when it comes to students, when it comes to children. If I can get their attention and show them how they can apply what I'm teaching to the real life, to the real world, and they themselves are curious and they want to explore and they want to just like kind of like, oh, wait, this is how I can do it. Let me try this. And then they can actually see them succeeding in whatever that it is that they're doing. That's already a huge win for me. Everything else is just me to show them even more how they can actually be better and do more and all those things. And I'm so glad that you actually brought up about culture that is not based on the academic push, because I've seen so many students burned out just because they thought they are always expected to excel in any subjects that they have to take. And when I ask them, why? They can't answer. Yeah. I'm like, wait, why is it important for you to get A's? Your parents are actually worried that you're pushing way too hard right now. And they're like, we don't expect them to get all the A's. We just want them to just, you know, enjoy life, explore life and all those things. And they're like, I don't know. I just think that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm like, why? And again, I really do agree that it has to come down to the culture itself, because if we cultivate, like what you said, excellence, right? So that means whenever we're learning something, whenever we're embarking on a certain project, a certain thing, we do expect that we are excelling in terms of like we put our best foot forward, right? Yep. Despite whatever the result. And another thing that I kind of like want to just like put out there is that when students are having fun, when they themselves are curious about it, scores might not necessarily translate at first, but it will keep on growing as they keep on pursuing if academic result is not the end goal of it. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I love what you said, because I love that the word that you kept saying is why. And I think oftentimes that why gets misinterpreted in terms of like, why do we put our kids to school? Is it to get good grades, or is it for them to practice being curious and to give them the right resources and the right tools for, if you're curious, this is how you look. And this is how you discover and learn. And so I think those are the building blocks of, okay, so outside of school, if I want to still be curious about different things, what are some things I can do? And so I think that is, sometimes the why becomes, no, the why is to get straight A's. But then they come out of school, not, or out of high school or out of college, kind of not sure about life. When like, I think, yeah, being curious, Will, I think we're on the same frequency when it comes to being curious and being resourced with the right tools, I think is what's important.
Yeah. So for those of you who are going to listen and not see my reaction, I'm just like, you know, just giving all sort of expressions out when Grace was saying things, because oh my god. Now here's what I have to say about COVID, though, about the pandemic. It sucks, first of all, it sucks, but honestly it does a really good job in revealing what is broken at the core. Mm-hmm. Right? It shows so many things in so many different ways. I've always viewed the pandemic as a magnifying glass, that everything that was hidden, that was covered, now you can actually see it on the surface, because humans will only show their true colors mostly under stress, right? You can actually see a person's true character under stress. So unfortunately, that also says about most schools, where the things that we talked about, the ideal or the perfect scenario, which is we cultivate dreams, we cultivate curiosity, we cultivate all kinds of whatever, and then we're facing with the fact that yeah, let's just survive this, and then let's just, you know, focus on the grades, and then we move on to the next year, right? It's even worse, I feel, for those who are in the senior years, where they have to kind of like push forward despite everything, because they have to get the grades that they need to go to university. Yeah. Right. And I think, based on just my own experience, students that the grades where students are most confused would be in grade 10, 11, 12.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reality of, oh, I need to now start working on my CVs, on my resumes, and whatever, supersedes their need to sit down and figure out what they want to do in life. Yeah. Right? So I love what you said about to foster their curiosity. And when we talk about your criterias or the things that you're looking for, which would be, does the school cultivate or provide opportunities for your children to, if they have any questions, if they have anything that's a bit different from the mainstream kind of like thoughts, will the school be able to kind of like help them clarify and explore, I would say. So
yeah.
I guess like I just want to kind of like ask your thought about, then do you think your children are provided with opportunities really to explore the subjects in school, right? I think it's one thing to be curious about life, but it's also another thing whether our school, whether, well, I mean, just education in general, I think let's not go to specific schools, right? Just education in general right now, are we allowing students to grow in finding out what they can be curious with when they're learning for specific subjects?
Yeah. So I'm actually in an interesting, I guess, stage right now with my family, because originally, you know, my kids went to an international school in Asia, but because of the pandemic, we've relocated temporarily to the United States. And so they're right now in a public school. But I think the school that is in Asia, I think I'm really happy that they're actually heading towards this direction where they're noticing that, like, hey, not all kids, I don't know, not all kids absorb knowledge equally, or like not all kids can learn under the same environment. So some kids, even let's just say sitting, some kids need to lay down every now and then. Some kids need to stand up every 5 minutes. Some kids, you know, are just okay, you know, sitting for a whole hour. And so I think there is this awareness of teachers now being sensitive towards the needs of the kids. Now, this is in Asia, okay, international school in Asia. Right now they're in America, public school, where they're just like, I think the public schools, specifically, I'm in California, so they're a lot more liberal.
Okay.
In the sense that, like, if your kid wants to express herself however way they want to, then go ahead. Which is great. And I think so there is room for my kid to express themselves however they want to. But, you know, with me, because I have both the Asian culture and the Western culture, sometimes I'm like, okay, we need a bit more discipline though. So, you know, you can't just do whatever you want whenever you want. There needs to be some. And so I don't know. So culturally at home, I guess that's my job as a parent to be like, yes, you can express yourself however you want, but there also needs to be these ground rules like respect. There needs to be these ground rules like discipline.
Okay.
So yeah.
I'll stop there first. Yeah, I think that's awesome. Like sometimes, like just a part of us, like we just can't really, really, you know, change, I think. But I do kind of like want to kind of circle back to my second thing that I want to talk about, which is like, so does that mean like what are some opportunities that you either provide or you use by chance to kind of like, I don't want to say to educate your children, but I think like I would probably clarify educate would mean like to cultivate. I would use that word instead, right? So like, are there any opportunities that you provide or are there any opportunities that you're trying to find by chance in any scenarios when you go out, when things happen? And are there any of those that you use to cultivate your children?
Yeah. As you know, California is a very liberal environment, probably a lot more liberal than Asia. So anytime there are conversations that my kids are not used to, I try to use those as opportunities to say, hey, your parents are a safe space. If you have any things, if there are any things that you don't understand, that conversations that happen to happen in public school or outside, you know, feel free to come to mommy and daddy and ask us. But in terms of what, like, are there any activities I put them in outside of school? Yes, I'm big on sports. Okay. And I feel like being in a team or working together as a team, I think really allows them to practice kind of social intelligence, emotional intelligence. There are times when your team wins, there are times when your team loses, there are times when you yourself are not a good player or you are the best player. And how do you navigate through those social or emotional situations? I think those things are really important. I do feel like when it comes to discipline, music is important. Back in Asia, they did play instruments, but because I did not bring those instruments with me, they're not exactly playing much of it right now. But I'm trying to figure out a way to put them more in sports, because I do feel like there is an element there where you learn a lot about yourself. It's not just about being good at soccer or basketball, but I think there's a lot that you learn about yourself where, oh, I can't manage my anger well here.
Yeah.
Or, wow, like, you know.
Tenacity, you know, that's, for example. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Or what does it mean to like work together as a team? Sometimes you're the star player, but then when your team is like, you know, not feeling so good about it, like how do you encourage that team spirit, or how do you help out a teammate?
Instead of, are you okay being supporting cast instead? Right. So your star players getting all of the attention, but are you okay with where you are, but you make your team win? All those things. So I totally agree with that. And I think it's just awesome that it's not just for the sake of, oh, you need to be in this, you need to be in that, but you have a specific goal in mind when you put your children through it. But do you explain it to them, though?
Yeah, and that's where the tough part is when it comes to parenting, because sometimes we just want to tell our kid to do something and that's it. Like, you kind of figure out life on your own. But I realize when it comes to like sports, and when you actually give your kids permission to come to you with questions, you better be prepared to answer all those questions.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah.
And that's the tough part for me, because I'm just like, oh my gosh, I did say that you can come to mommy anytime, but sometimes I'm just so busy with my work or I have meetings.
Yeah.
They just come to me with the most randomest questions. So I do realize as a parent, like I need to walk the talk. And so if I say there's space, I need to make sure I provide that space. No matter how ridiculous, you know, the situation is.
Oh yeah.
But I also realize I have to be proactive in asking the right questions to my child too. I can't just always expect them to come to me, because sometimes I feel like I need to dig it out a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think those things are important.
Yeah, I love it so much, because again, I think there are a lot of parents, I think, that are aware of the changes socially, emotionally speaking. And so they become, oh, like I need to allow my child to be A, B, C, D. So I'll just throw it out there for them and just wait. But no, just think about relationship and communication. You can't really build communication and relationship if it's only waiting, right? You do have to, I think like the key word here will be engage. And I can see just how much you, despite your busyness, despite the things that you have to do, you still make sure that you are engaged with your children. I think that's just awesome as a parent. And just one thought. This is going to be very random. And if
I
we
love
have
random.
Edit this, it's okay. That's completely fine. But I just want to ask you, though, as a parent, let's say one of your child randomly just comes up to you and run to you and be like, I just want to be a streamer. Can I just not continue school? Would it be okay? What's your thought on that? And just want to know kind of like how do you process it?
I do feel that, okay, let me back up. I'm not sure if like me and my husband are the typical Asian parents.
Okay.
So I don't, I'm not sure if I would speak on behalf of all the Asian parents,
but it's okay
for me, if, because actually the situation you're giving to me is not too far from home for me. So okay. my son, I can see, so I used to be a career counselor, right? So yeah. I'm very kind of in tune to seeing kind of my children and how they're gifted in, because I've done that for a bunch of teenagers. And so I'm very like in tune with like where my kids are gifted in. And my son he's six. And he's told me from like a year ago, I want to be a YouTuber. And like, I hate school. I just want to be a YouTuber. And so what you're sharing with me is not too far from home. honestly, knowing my husband, I feel like he'd be like, yeah, all right, let's do it. Let's figure out a trajectory and a course where we can make you successful in this area.
Yeah.
And
but you,
for me, okay, so I'm more of the traditional route. So I am a lot more conservative. And so there would be some hesitation from me and be like, really, is that the right path for you? And again, I think because, Will, you know that I'm really big on personal awareness, and I'm really, I guess not just a parent, but as an individual, I'm very big on unpacking, like, why do I need things to be so structured and fit into a box? Mm. And so I understand that I also bring that box into my parenting. And so I also noticed my body tensing up when you were asking me that. And I realized it's because I want my child to fit in a certain box, right?
Yes. Yes.
But is that the best way to parent my child?
Okay.
Personally, I don't think so.
Okay.
But because maybe my family culture or whatnot has kind of conditioned me to be a certain way, I think it's only the awareness of like, okay, Grace, you can't implement that same style of learning to your child. That's what stops me from being like, no, you can't be a YouTuber. But I do feel like I need to give my child permission to dream, permission to make choices. But obviously if he's six, like I still have,
of course,
I still need to put my foot down. Like, yeah, you can be a YouTuber, but you still got to complete, you know, on high school or some level of college. But I'm not going to squash your dream.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, because here's the thing though, like, and the reason why I'm asking that is because, look, listeners, that is a very possible thing to happen. I actually have a student who skipped grade 10, 11, 12 altogether. And he, especially with the pandemic, with the online school, like he just never shows up. Even with physical school, he never showed up. Mm. Right. And so the parents gave him chances and he still disappeared on them to pursue his dream as a as an esports kind of like, you know, sportsman. I don't even know what to call him, honestly. And so I do agree with your sentiment though, like especially when if they are very young, if they're six, seven, 8 years old, right? I would probably go with you as well in terms of just like sitting down, like, okay, so why? Just ask. I don't know. I'm a big fan of using the word why. Like, I Absolutely. Annoy the crap out of people from a very young age from using that single word. That is the single most powerful word to annoy anyone. Why? And I would definitely just like ask my child also why. Right. Why do you hate school? I think let's start with that. Right. Yeah. So why do you hate school? And what is it about school that you actually hate? And then, because I do believe that the more you can ask why, it's not, by the way, people, it's not for my benefit. It's for my child's benefit. I think it's for your children's benefit as well. For them to be able to hear themselves talking about it. Right. Mm-hmm. It gets kind of like them to be able to wait, is this really my reason? And kind of like, because sometimes with a good effective questioning techniques, you do help the other person to understand themselves better as well. And so I don't know, like I would probably initially be like your husband with Ron and be like, I'm done, let's go. Right. And then I would just kind of like you with the whole, you know, my parents' parenting style and be like, really? And yeah, I just kind of like, I'm just curious really, because anytime like I mentioned this, I have a parent teachers conference, right? I do bring up, you know, being a streamer and playing games, and because like the parents would be like, yeah, my child is like playing games and blah and blah and blah. I'm like, but here's the thing though, we do have a shift in society in which if you are actually a good gamer or you can actually build content, we do have these case examples where they are being, they have signed contracts over millions of dollars for a few years. Yeah. So we no longer can talk about games and gaming industry, which is basically a $1 billion industry, like, you know, as something that is useless. So let's talk about your understanding here and see what's going on, right? Yeah. I don't know, Grace.
The world's changing. No, I'm with you. The world is changing, and there's going to be a bunch of new types of jobs that appear that we, you know, don't really know about right now. But one thing I want to say, just add in here, Will, is that you keep coming back to like why you do this. And I think that is just such an important question to ask our children or our students, because you don't want like their motivation. It's almost asking your purpose in life. Like you don't want their purpose to be motivated by your purpose as a parent or your purpose as a teacher, because yeah. That's only going to make them go so far. But if the why comes from them as like themselves, I think that why is going to push them even further in life.
Yeah.
So, which is why, like, I think I'm really trying to rethink my parenting style, because I don't want my why to drive them. Because let's just say, I mean, I'm going to pass before my kids. So what if I pass and does their why or their purpose suddenly stop? Like, that shouldn't be the case, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I love your questioning of why. I think it's something that's necessary and should keep happening.
Yeah, true. Because I mean, anytime students come to me and kind of like just like, I would just like catch up with them. Hey, how are you doing? And be like, so I think like, because there are some grades where I've been with them since they were in like grade 7, and then they're now in like grade 11 or 12. So whenever I ask them, hey, how are you doing? I like, they know that I'm actually asking this. So they're like, okay. So I think this is me right now. And I'm like, okay, so why do you feel that way? And they already know, like they know that I would just ask a bunch of questions, because we can be very strict and they can be very smart. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me try to explain that for our listeners. As adults, I'm not gonna label like, you know, teachers, parents, guardians, whoever, like as long as you're an adult, to minors, to children, to young people, to people who are younger than you, right? There will always be this authority figure that they will be, that they can recognize. And if you are very strict with the heart that you want to discipline them or whatever, I'm telling you right now, they can be very smart in playing the system. Mm-hmm. And in front of you, they will follow it, because they know what's best for them is to show you or signal to you they're following whatever that you want them to follow. And behind you, then they can just do whatever they want, right? And so it is, I love what you said about like, it is harder, right, to walk the talk when you are telling your children that it's okay for them to ask questions, then that you better give them the space to receive those questions and then kind of like engage with the conversation with them. And it is harder. And I have always been applauding parents who have children. If you have more than two, I would call you a hero. If you have more than three, you are out of this world. That's kind of like, just because again, it's a no joke job description to be a parent, especially if you're doing double jobs, being a parent and then do your own job. That's like double jobs. Okay, so yeah, like, but if I can just ask though, like, what do you think that we need more of in the education sphere for our children in the future?
Like, what would I add into like the school curriculum? Or
yeah, I mean, like it could be. I would probably just go in two ways. Like, number one, in the school format right now, or the curriculum itself, because the if we talk about curriculum, it's too broad, because you have Cambridge, you have IB, and then you have national, yeah, depending on which country you are in, all those things. So, but like in just in the aspects of schools, like what they need, despite what they teach, for our children to benefit, and yeah, education in general, really.
Yeah, this is going to sound really abstract, Will, but I think one thing that I would love to see more in my child's education is personal awareness. And I think that needs to start at a younger age than, I don't know when they're starting now, like 11th, 12th grade, maybe 9th grade. I feel like it needs to start even younger, because I think there is something to be celebrated about the way that you're wired. And even taking steps to unpack that as you journey through, you know, first grade, second grade, third grade. So I do feel like personal awareness, and under that also comes like emotional intelligence, right? And so understanding the way you're wired, understanding there are, I mean, when there's someone in sixth grade who knows how they're triggered and knows how to manage that well, like that's amazing, right? And that kid is so much more prepared for life rather than someone that's achieving straight A's but doesn't know how to manage their anger.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I would love to see more, I don't know what you call them, classes, conversations on personal awareness, on understanding the way you're wired.
There's actually a specific organization, and there's a specific, I would say, it's called SEL. So this is actually researched by Yale University. So social emotional learning that is integrated at the core of a curriculum or as a school. And they are, it's called the RULER approach. So it's from recognizing the R and then the understanding all the way to regulating in the end. So it's fairly new, but I love when you said that the self-awareness part, because yeah, it's, I'm going to talk about that in a bit, but please continue. I'm so sorry I cut you off.
No, I mean, I think it was almost personal awareness. I think it's obviously important to know your strengths and your weaknesses and all of those things. But I think when you start from like what excites you in life, you know, and you start asking a kid, obviously they won't have all the answers, and you can't just go with the first thing they say, like, I want to be a princess. Like, that's not like, okay, let's start there. Maybe there's something about a platform or something that really sparks something in them. And later as they get older, I think you'll start unpacking. But I think when you start at a younger age, I think that excites them towards, okay, let's say I want to be a princess, let's say a little girl says, and they like being on the platform, then you could be like, okay, this is why you need to learn how to read and write well. Because if you want to be in a platform, you need to learn how to speak well, right? And when you speak, you have to, you know, you have reading comprehension and all those things that you need to build up. So there is, like you said, why? There is that why behind why I'm learning all of this. And so when you pair that up with personal awareness and what I'm excited about and why I'm learning all these academics, I just feel like that gives a more comprehensive picture of why I'm learning this, if that makes sense.
So yeah, that makes perfect sense, because I've had conversation with other with other guests in my podcast, and which they are students. So I have one who is still in high school, another one who just graduated. So he actually took a very non-traditional route, which was, especially in Indonesia, in Asian country, which would be from grade 10 straight to college in the States. And then from that, he was able to cultivate his own interests, and now he is in Berkeley.
That's amazing.
So here's the crazy thing. During his high school years, he wasn't the smartest, he wasn't the brightest, he was the B's and the C's. And because he knows that was what he wasn't interested in, but there's also the expectations that was put on him. So he worked the system in which I'm just going to get B's to keep my parents off my back. And that's it. When he was in grade 10, he realizes this is not going to do me any good. Let me just go somewhere else. And he went to the States. He went to a community college even. And he found what he was really interested in, which what you said before, it's very important for us, for the students to understand what they're interested in, because since then he got straight A's in all of his subjects that he, from a community college to Berkeley. And so for me, and there's also another one who basically said the same thing, two others who basically said the same thing. They weren't the best in school, but once they found out what they are really, what they're truly interested in university, from a very average scoring student, they're now at the front runners, right? One already graduated from international relation, working with a nonprofit under the UN umbrella for education, and another one who is now studying law, right? And I wholeheartedly agree with you when it comes to interest, because unfortunately, schools are still half and half. They're like, oh yeah, we need to cultivate curiosity and whatever, but their system is pushing for academics. And I'm like, mm-hmm. All right, good to know. Because there's nothing worse than talking to students who just like, I just want to give up on this. I'm like, why? And so anytime that happens, I always ask them, is it because of the teacher? Is it because of the subject? And when they sit down, 8 out of 10, teachers.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you so much, Grace, for this conversation. Do you have any last thoughts or anything that you would like to share as a parent, I guess?
I mean, as a parent, parenting is definitely not easy. I think the education system, because correct me if I'm wrong, Will, I'm not as experienced of an educator as you, but I do feel like our education system was built from the industrial era. So it has been, the structure has been built for kind of that era. And we've noticed that it doesn't really work now, for the generation that's emerging right now.
Yep. And it hasn't changed for centuries. Imagine that, people.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think, I mean, it's always good to start up this conversation of how can things be better. And obviously it's a process. It's not going to be an on and off switch. So I do feel like it's important to have conversations like this, like what you're doing right now, Will, in the podcast. I think it's good to invite parents and teachers and students and just to see, where do you think education should be shifting? And how can we do this all together? Because it can't just be from the teachers. It can't just be from the parents, and it can't just be from the students as well.
Yeah,
I do feel like it has to be a collaborative effort.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Grace, for just a really chill conversation, really. And I would just like remind all of the listeners that this is a perspective, right? This is, there's no right or wrong. There is no absolute truth or like absolute thing to this entire conversation. This is just based on how I see it, how Grace is seeing it as well as a parent, myself as a teacher. It is a long conversation to have, and I'm so glad that we actually can have it. So with that said, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening again to the Not Gonna Lie podcast. And I am so glad that you are still here with us to this point in the minutes of this podcast, because that just means you're still listening and you're interested and you're curious as well to know. With that said, we're going to say goodbye. I'll see you guys again next time. Bye, everyone.